Well, good morning again, everyone. How are we? What an interesting story. Kind of doesn't go where you expect it to go, does it? But this story, and for those who might be watching on the podcast later or want to get it written down, the Bible passage was 2 Kings 6, 8 to 23. And this tells the story of the prophet Elisha when he is facing a battle. Who here has ever faced a battle? Tell you what, if there's someone here that hasn't faced a battle, I want to meet you, because we've all faced battles in our life. In fact, I think I'm prepared to go out on a limb here. I think I'm prepared to go out on a limb and say that most of the people in this room would probably be fighting some kind of battle right now. And sometimes they're big battles, sometimes they're little battles, but I reckon most of us, in one way or another, are fighting a battle at the moment. And you know what, if you're not fighting a battle at the moment, if you think, yeah, life's going great, I guarantee you know somebody who's fighting a battle. And I think that there's a lot that we can learn in this Lessons from Elisha about facing battles. And so that's what we're going to be looking at, what we can read from this passage that kind of doesn't go where we think it's going to go, about facing battles. Now, when I hear that picture, especially the bit about the chariots of fire and this army on the hill, I like to sort of think, what would that look like? And there's one thing that comes to mind when I think about this. Is there any other Lord of the Rings fans here? If you're not, you're about to become one. So there's a scene that I'm going to show you from The Lord of the Rings, and there's an army of men and elves, and they're being decimated, and they decide to ride out for one final act of glory. If they're going to go down, they're going to go down in style. And then something unexpected happens. So let's watch the screen. Wow. Now, I apologise that cut off so quickly. The next scene it cuts to is a little bit gory, so we cut it there. But you can see this effect of these thousands and thousands of horses riding down the hill. I know what I'm doing this afternoon now, funnily enough. If you're watching Lord of the Rings. What an amazing picture. But that's actually not what happened, is it, in what we read? Their eyes were open, they saw this amazing army, but then nothing happens with the army. So what can we learn from this today about facing battles in a battle where the army doesn't ride in and save the day? Now, we're going to do something a little bit different today. You would have got a little piece of paper as you came in with some questions on it. If you didn't get that, put your hand up and we're going to have some handed out. Hopefully most people got that. And just as they're being handed out, I want to give you a little bit of background to this passage and who this Elisha guy is. So Elisha, as it says, is a prophet of God. And the prophets in Israel had a very specific purpose. God would call a prophet and he would say, "Go and tell my people this." And often it was things like, "People, you're worshipping idols, you're wandering away from me, come back to me." And God would send these prophets to deliver messages to the people. And another thing that the prophets did was that they often interceded for the people of Israel. So this Elisha guy, just in the previous chapter, The Israelites had been attacked by the Moabites. A massive army had come against them. But Elisha had prayed to God and interceded on their behalf, and God came through and saved the Israelite people from the Moabites. So Elisha had seen the power of God, and Elisha had acted powerfully in the power of God. And actually, something really interesting, the reason why the Arameans might have known who he was because a couple of chapters earlier, he'd actually prayed for healing for one of the king of Aram's servants. So everyone knew who this Elisha guy was. So everyone knew that he was this prophet that did this truth-telling and that he had a really, really close connection with God. Okay, so that's a bit of background on Elisha, and we'll hear a little bit more later. But what I want to do today is go through, I think we need one more here, a couple more. What I want to do today is I want to unpack little bits of this scripture, pull out a few thoughts, and then give you a moment to reflect on what God is saying to you in your battle. And I want to do this because each of us, we each have different battles. You know, maybe your battle is a health battle. Maybe the battle you're facing is some kind of broken relationship. Maybe you are under spiritual attack. Maybe you're fighting addiction. There's all kinds of battles that we face. And so I want God to reveal to each of you something that's going to help you today. And then I'm going to finish up with a couple of thoughts on each of these that might also help. Sound like a plan? Okay. So the first bit of scripture I want to look at is this bit here. This is talking about, as Max read before, what had happened here is the king of Aram kept sending these raiding parties against Israel to take their supplies, to take their riches. But what was happening is every time they'd plan it, God would tell Elisha, Elisha would tell the king of Israel, and then they'd know they were coming. So Elisha kept thwarting the plans. I love that word, thwart. Say it with me, thwart. So Elisha had thwarted the plans of the king of Aram. And so the king of Aram was, well, it says here in rage, he was pretty annoyed at this Elisha guy. And he says, let's find out where he is and send an army to capture him. Now, just a little aside, don't you think the king of Aram's a bit silly? Like, if this guy is so in touch with God that God tells him everything the king of Aram's saying, how's he going to surprise him? But anyway, that's just a little side thought there. So what the king of Aram does is he finds out that where he is and he sends an army to surround the city. Now, what I think we can take from this, Elisha knows what his battle is and he knows why the battle is. He knows that the king of Aram has sent this party, this little army against him, and he knows it's because he was telling the Israelite king what the king of Aram was saying and helping the Israelites, God's people. So let's think about our own battles for a minute. Sometimes we know exactly why we're having this battle. We know exactly who the battle is with. If it's a broken relationship, it's often easy to identify, and not necessarily the person's the enemy, but the other person involved in this battle. You know, sometimes if it's, sometimes it's our own bad decisions, we're our own enemy, and that's why we're having this battle. But sometimes we have no idea why we're having this battle. If we have sickness has come on us, sometimes we don't know why that's happening. Sometimes if there's spiritual attack, we don't know why it's happening. So sometimes we know and sometimes we don't. And so what I want you to reflect on just for a minute, what is the battle that you are facing? And if you're not facing one, then think about someone close to you that is. What is the battle that's being faced? And what is God telling you about this? Do you know why you're having this battle? Do you know who this battle is with? Or is this something where you're totally in the unknown and you're relying on God completely? So let's just take a minute and reflect on our battle. Okay, most people have finished writing that down. I think it's really important to identify the battle, because sometimes the battle even isn't even what we think it is. So the first step is to actually know what our battle is and what God wants to tell us about that. Okay, the second bit. So this is what happens. when the army actually surrounds the city. And it starts off when the servant of the man of God. Now, I don't want to keep calling him the servant, so I'm going to call him Steve. So the servant of Elisha is now called Steve, because I'm going to talk about Steve a bit. So we've got Steve and we've got Elisha. And so what happens here is they wake up in the morning and Steve and Elisha, their city is surrounded by this army. And there's three key little things they say here that I want to pull out. The first thing is Steve says, "Oh no, my Lord, what shall we do?" And you know what? Isn't that our common human response? We face a battle, something goes wrong, what am I going to do? Now, we really know that the first thing we should be doing is saying, "God, help me." But isn't it such a human response to go, "What am I going to do? How am I going to face this?" But Elisha answers with, "Don't be afraid." And then he backs that up. This isn't just an empty, "Oh, there, don't be afraid." He backs it up and he says, "Those who are with us are more than those who are with them." Can you imagine Steve's face? He'd be like, "Dude, there's you and there's me, and then there's an army. What on earth are you talking about?" But you see, Elisha knows. Elisha knows that God and God's army is there. And you might think, well, how does he know that? Well, if we go back a little bit in the story of Elisha, when he became a prophet, he was actually like an apprentice prophet to this guy called Elijah. So Elijah and Elisha, a bit confusing. So Elijah was an amazing prophet and took Elisha on as an apprentice. And they were together for a number of years and saw God do amazing things. But Elijah kept saying, "My days here are short, I'm going to be taken soon." And he kept saying, "You know, God's going to take me soon and then I'll hand things over to you." And what actually happened is Elisha and Elijah are just walking along the road one day. Heaven opens, chariots of fire come down, pick Elijah up and take him to heaven. I imagine at that point Elisha was like, "Whoa, that's different." But Elisha had seen this before. Elisha had seen the army of God because it came and took Elijah up to heaven. So this wasn't something new for him. And in all the experiences Elisha had, he had seen God work. So he knew, although he couldn't see it at the moment, he knew that God was there. And then Elisha prays, "God, open Steve's eyes, let him see." And the next verse then goes on to tell us that God opened Steve's eyes and let him see this vast army on the hill, a little bit like Gandalf and the warriors of Rohan. He saw on the hill this formidable army. But what's actually happening here is that Steve's spiritual eyes are being opened. His spiritual eyes are being opened to the truth of God being there, the truth of God's army being there. And he was able to see in this, we could say, the spiritual realm. And what's happening here is that he's getting some spiritual discernment. He's able to see behind the scenes what's actually going on. He's able to see God's truth. And what he is able to see is that even though he's scared and even though he doesn't know how they're going to get out of this, he can now see God's army up on the hill. And so the second thing I want us to reflect on this morning, where do you need God to open your eyes in your battle to give you some spiritual discernment? What truths do you need to know for sure? Maybe the truth is you need to know that God is there with you. Maybe you need to know that God is on your side. Maybe you need to know that God really loves and cares about you and his army is there to protect you. Maybe it's something completely different. Let's take a moment and just ask God, what is it that you want me to see that I haven't seen before? So let's just take a moment. Okay, so this is where the story takes an unexpected twist. What you'd expect is what we saw in The Lord of the Rings, this army to come down and wipe out the Aramean army. But that's not what actually happens. Elisha actually goes out to talk to the army, but just as he does that, he prays this really weird prayer. Lord, strike this army with blindness. So God struck the army with blindness, just as Elisha had asked. Now, this isn't a physical blindness because they were still able to walk around and go where they ended up going. But this was like not a physical, but like a spiritual blindness, even a confusion. And what we heard next is that Elisha actually went up to them and said, hey, you know, you're not in the right place. Let me take you where you need to go. It's kind of like in Star Wars. These are not the droids you're looking for. I am not the man you are looking for. And sorry if you're not a Star Wars or Lord of the Rings fan. I am. So what he's saying here is, you know, this isn't where you need to be. Come with me and I'll take you to where you need to go. And God allowed the Aramean army to be confused. And, you know, in this story, sometimes we're Elisha. Sometimes we're standing firm. We know God's there. We're standing firm in the battle. Sometimes we're Steve going, oh, yikes, what on earth is going on here? And sometimes I think we're the Aramean army. We're clouded with confusion. We can't see clearly. I mean, obviously, we never know God's entire plan. It'd be nice if we did, hey? On this date, this is going to happen. But we don't. But sometimes we're clouded with confusion that the enemy can bring us. We're clouded with confusion because of things people have said to us. So the third question I want to ask you is this. Has God shown you something that your eyes have been closed to because of confusion? What are you confused about in this battle that you need God to take the confusion away, the opposite of what happened to the army? So let's just take a minute and think. Ask God, ponder. What have we been confused about? Okay, and here's the last part where things even get a little bit stranger. So Elisha's taken the Aramean army, they've followed him and they've gone to Samaria, which is the capital of the northern kingdom. So Elisha was a prophet of the northern kingdom. And when he gets there, the king of Israel is like, cool, these are the guys that have been causing us so much trouble. Can I kill them? Can I get rid of them? And because these people have been causing such trouble to Israel, and he wants to get rid of them. But Elisha says, no. Would you kill people that you've taken prisoner of war? Like, if people die in battle, that's different. But if you take prisoners of war, would you kill them? We're not going to kill these guys. What we're going to do is feed them. In fact, we're going to throw them a feast, and then we're going to send them home. Okay, that's totally not how we expected this passage to go. We expected the army to be wiped out. But have a think about what God is actually doing here. If the army of God had come down that hill and wiped out, you know, this group of Aramean soldiers, then that would have solved the problem in the short term for Elisha and Steve. But these raiding parties would have continued. There still would have been trouble with the Arameans. Have a look at the last sentence there. So the bands from Aram stopped raiding Israel's territory. See, sometimes we see the solution to our problem, the solution to our battle, as this. And it's a fine solution. That would get us out of the problem. But sometimes God sees it as this. And we can't see God's entire plan, but it's always a better plan. Instead of a quick fix, a band-aid, he gives us a complete victory. And sometimes that happens in ways that make us shake our head and think, I never saw that coming. And that's what God's done here. He could have attacked the other army and destroyed them, but instead he has given a long-term solution to the Israelite people. Well, a medium to long-term, because other things happen. But we can't always tell what God is doing, and sometimes his outcome for our problem comes completely differently to what we expect. So the last question I want you to think about today is God telling you something about the outcome of your battle? Maybe you've been waiting for those chariots to come in and solve the problem, but God's got a slightly different picture in mind. So let's just take a moment and reflect and ask God if he wants to tell us something about the outcome of our battle today. Still a few people writing. So I don't know whether you found that little exercise helpful, but sometimes I find it really useful to pull out bits of scripture, think about what's happening and think about what God wants to tell me. And you know, God's revealed a couple of other things to me that I'd like to share with you about this just quickly in summing up. Things that we can learn and remember about our own battles from what Elisha, Steve and God did in this particular passage here. So firstly, in terms of facing battles, we all are going to face battles in our life. You know, Jesus says in John 16:33, he says to his disciples, "In this world you will have trouble. We live in a fallen world, we will have trouble." Jesus goes on to say, "But don't worry, I've overcome the world. There's nothing for you to worry about, but you will have troubles." And here's a second one. When you are doing the will of God, you will face battles. You know, if you've made a decision to follow Christ and you're pressing into God and you're growing in your relationship with God and you've made a commitment to read the Bible every day, do you think the enemy's going to go, sweet? The enemy's going to attack. It happens. But we need not fear because God has said he will always be with us. But sometimes, you know, I feel like I'm under spiritual attack and then I go, I did that thing the other day where I really took some ground for God, where I really pressed into God and did what God wanted me to do. And the enemy's not happy with that. So if you feel like you're facing a spiritual battle, sometimes it sounds really weird, but take courage from that because it means you're pressing into God. That's why the enemy's attacking. So that's something to remember about our battle. And this third one might seem a little bit strange. Know and maybe seek to understand your enemy. So if our enemy, and please notice it's in inverted commas because I don't want to call people the enemy, but if your battle involves another person, maybe it's worth praying to God and trying to understand what's going on here. You know, maybe this person has been hurt by you or by someone else and they're taking it out on you. Maybe there could be all kinds of reasons this person's acting that way. And as hard as it is to try and think about why someone's acting that way when they're hurting you, sometimes that insight can absolutely help you in dealing with it. God can reveal things to you that can help you in how you deal with the problem. Now, if it's a spiritual attack, I'm not saying that you should try to understand the enemy because, you know, obviously what we do in that case is we take it to God. And Ephesians 6 talks about spiritual attacks and what we do in spiritual attacks and how we put on the armour of God to fight that. But it's important to remember to be able to identify the enemy. The third thing that can happen is sometimes the enemy can use other people's actions in a battle against us. Now, that's not to say the person's in cahoots with the enemy, but the enemy can use that and whisper lies in your ear. And so sometimes if you're battling, it really helps to know, is this just me and a person having a human issue? Is this a spiritual battle? Or is God actually even using this person to try and bring me down? Because then that person's not the enemy. The enemy's the enemy. So I think something to ponder, something for us to, I know it's pretty deep, but to know and, if appropriate, seek to understand why this battle is happening. Okay, second, this is opening and confusion, like that whole idea together. We can't see God's whole plan. Now, Elisha may have known what God was going to do in this, but Steve sure didn't. So remember that we don't always know what God is doing. We can't see the big picture. Secondly, God and his protection is there, even when we can't see it and even when we can't feel it. It says in Joshua 1:9, God says, "Be strong and courageous, for I am with you wherever you go. What an amazing promise. And then Matthew 28:20, Jesus says to his disciples, and it's a promise to all of us, that I will be with you. I will never forsake you. I will be with you even till the end of days. Another amazing promise. Sometimes we can't feel it, and we use that human emotion. Sometimes we can't see it, but God is always there. And lastly, our faith and our trust build when we remember what God has done for us before. See, Elisha knew that the army was there because he'd seen it before. Elisha knew that God would come through because he'd seen God rescue the Moabites. He'd seen all this other stuff that God had done. And so when he started remembering back, God, I know what you've done in the past. I can see it. I know you're going to come through. So sometimes we need to, when we're facing a battle, go, God, just remind me of everything you've done for me in the past. Help me see, help me be confident that you are going to come through again. The last one, and I've called it a complicated outcome. Same first point, we can't always see God's plan. And just as the case with the Arameans and Steve and Elisha, sometimes what we're looking for is a quick fix, but what God's actually got for us is a comprehensive victory. And were Elisha and Steve saved? Absolutely. They didn't come to any harm, but God actually had a much bigger and better outcome. Here's another thing to think about in our own battles. You know, God loves us all. God shows us grace and mercy, and he is going to see us through our problem. But what if we're focused just on this little bit here, our solution? But God's solution actually involves him saving other people too. Maybe that person you're in conflict with, and this is hard stuff, maybe that person you're in conflict with, if that's the battle you're facing, God wants to save you from that, but he also wants to save them. Maybe it's not the person you're in conflict with. Maybe you've got a family member who doesn't believe, and they see you going through this struggle, and as God brings you through it and delivers it, that person is going to come to know God too. Sometimes God's plan for our deliverance, sometimes God's plan for getting us through a struggle has such wider impacts. And I know that when someone, you know, when you're hurting, it's really hard to think about that. But isn't that what would have happened with the Arameans? Wouldn't they have gone back to their king and gone, these guys, like, they're God. They showed grace and mercy. Who would do that? And as you live your life out and how you live your life out when you're going through these struggles can be an amazing witness to other people. The tough one. So that's some of the things that I think we can take from this passage about Elisha and Steve and the Arameans. And you know, the most important thing I think that we can take from this is this idea of when we're facing a battle, even though we can't see it, God's army, the flaming chariots are there. God is with us. God is with us in our troubles. God is with us in our suffering. You know, in one of my subjects, I've been looking at Christ and salvation and looking at the idea of how Christ suffered on the cross. And Laura mentioned this before. And, you know, because of Christ's suffering, he experienced every kind of suffering that we as humans can. In his humanity, when he took on flesh, he suffered. Therefore, he can suffer with us. He walks alongside us in our suffering. And sometimes that's what we need. We just need Jesus to be walking alongside us in our suffering. So I want to ask you today, and as I said, I think a lot of us are going through battles. Might not look like we are, but we are. What does God want to say to you in your battle today? What truth does God want to reveal to you? God wants you to know he's with you. I absolutely know that. But what are the truth does God want you to know about this battle that you're facing? I'm going to ask the worship team to come up. This song they're going to sing, it's called Still, and it talks about when things are going crazy, I'm just going to be still and know that you are God. Because unlike Steve, our first reaction shouldn't be, oh no, what am I going to do? Our first reaction should be, God, I'm going to be still and know that you are God and know that you are with me and know that you are going to bring me through this. And so I invite you, I'm going to ask some of the prayer team actually if they'd like to come up. If you're facing a battle today, if God has revealed something to you, I want to invite you to come forward because the prayer team would love to pray for you. I'd love to pray for you. You know, God has amazing things to reveal to you and amazing peace to bring you today. So I invite you, as the prayer team comes up, come and pray with us.